Good morning. So last year, this time, we were talking about moving into a new year, just like we're going to be this morning as well. And one of the things the Lord put on my heart last year was trust, trusting Him. As we move into a new year, we don't know what's going to happen. And how many of you asked this question? Before the beginning of last year, how many of you made New Year's resolutions? Anybody brave enough to say you made a New Year's resolution? I guess nobody. I guess basically we've all given up on New Year's resolutions, haven't we? Because we know we can't keep them. Well, New Year's resolutions are not necessarily bad, right? They can be good. We probably make resolutions throughout the year, where we say, I want to do this, or I want to, this thing, I'm going to really work hard to do it. Well, I thought about it this year because, New Year's resolutions and the whole idea of doing better in the new year than we did in the last year is a good thing. But one of the things God really impressed upon my heart this year is when we do that, whatever time of the year we do that, we are creating expectations, aren't we? We're creating expectations for ourselves, or maybe we create expectations for others, whatever. We create expectations that normally we can't fulfill. And so we get disappointed, we get discouraged. And so what the Lord put on my heart this year is to talk about, as we go into 2014, maybe finding out what God wanted us to do. And to, in 2014, if you want to say make a resolution, in 2014, why not make a resolution that says, I'm going to, as much as possible, follow the will of God in 2014? Now, I want to talk about the will of God this morning. First of all, let's look at Mark 3:35. Mark 3:35. And this is Jesus talking, Yeshua talking, and he says, For whoever does the will of God is my brother and my sister and my mother. Whoever does the will of God. It's a very interesting statement. It's one of those controversial statements that Yeshua made. He was in a house at the time, and people had come to the door, knocked on the door, and said, Hey, your family is outside. Your family is outside waiting for you. You need to go talk to them. And Yeshua made the comment, Who is my family? And then he explains. He says, For whoever does the will of God is my brother, my sister, and my mother. So one of the things that we get from that right away is if we want or if we are part of the family of God, if you have made a decision to follow Yeshua and he is your Savior and he is your Lord, you're trusting in the sacrifice of Yeshua on the cross for your sins. And you believe that it is only through his blood that you are made right with God. You are part of the family of God, right? We've talked about that many times before. You are part of the family of God. As the family of God, what should we be doing? Yeshua says it right here. Whoever does the will of God. So as part of the family of God, we should be doing the will of God. Now, we're going to talk about, does that just happen automatically? Some people think that that's the way it is. But I don't see that in Scripture. But we're going to get to that in a second. So what is our plan for 2014? And what is God's? What is our plan and what is God's? That's the question I think we should be asking as we go into this new year. Yeshua says, whoever does the will of God is part of his family. If we call ourselves followers of Messiah or of Christ, then we should be doing the will of God. If we are not doing the will of God, then either we are not a follower of Messiah or Christ, or we're a rebellious child who's not walking with the Lord like we need to be. We've been talking about rebellion this morning a little bit. So it's one or the other. Because Yeshua makes it very clear, if we are of his family, we will be doing the will of the Father. And when we're not doing the will of the Father, and we realize we're not doing the will of the Father, if we're part of his family, the natural response should be confessing it to him, making it right with him, and getting back on track, doing his will again. So what is our plan for 2014? Now, I talked about expectations earlier. I know that if I could come up with all sorts of things that I'd like to see happen in 2014, and I'm going to get very disappointed if I try to make those things happen. Some of them might happen. Some of them I might have enough control to make it happen. Many of the things I won't be able to see happen. So how do I save myself all this disappointment? How do I keep from having missed expectations? How do I keep in 2014? How do I have joy? How do I get through 2014 with happiness and joy? Well, one way, be obedient to the will of God. See, because if I'm not coming up with my own expectations and my own plans and my own desires and trying to make that happen, then I'm not going to get disappointed, am I? If I'm following what he wants, I won't be disappointed. See, not only is this doing the will of God a good thing to do because we're being obedient to God, but it is the key to joy for us as believers and satisfaction. You know what it says about Yeshua? It says that he did the will of his Father all the time. All the time. That's why, aside from him being God, but he was also a man, very clearly it states that in Scripture, he had to be a man, but as a man, he did the will of his Father, God, all the time. And you know what he says to us? We're called to be like him. We're called to be like Yeshua. Doesn't leave a lot of wiggle room, does it? So, we see here in Luke 22:42, it says, Yeshua did the will of his Father. Yeshua did the will of his Father. If I can find that. Sorry. Luke 22:42. Obviously going to have to just look it up. Your Bibles to Luke 22:42. Luke 22:42. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. Now, you hear here in Luke 22:42, Jesus, Yeshua, has come to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he is praying to his Father. And like I said a few minutes ago, Yeshua always did the will of his Father, even to the point of death. And so now this would seem in this case, right, that this would not give you a lot of joy or satisfaction. You have to die, right? Well, that's not true, actually. For Yeshua, he went through incredible pain and incredible suffering. It says he was a man of suffering and acquainted with grief. Whose sufferings and whose grief was he acquainted with? Ours. Our sin. That's what he got acquainted with. But when he went to the cross and when he died, it says in Isaiah later on, talking about the Messiah, is that he will see the light of life and he will see the work that his sacrifice is done, and it says he will be satisfied. See, that's the key that we see here, that even when we obey the will of God, and it means suffering for us, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. See, even if we have to go through some suffering in this life, that's okay, because one of these days we will be satisfied. And when you're walking in the Lord in his will, you get to the place where you almost become satisfied even as you're going through it because of that hope that you have in him. always looking. Paul experienced this, right? He says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors. He gave himself according to the will of the Father. We see that Yeshua gave himself according to the will of the Father. We find that in Galatians 1, 3 through 5. Let's turn to Galatians 1. Galatians 1, starting in verse 3. It says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So we see that Yeshua did the will of his Father. He went to the cross. He gave himself for us according to the will of God. Also in Hebrews 7:10, which is actually a quote from Psalms, it says, then said I, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God. And this is a messianic psalm where the Messiah, Yeshua, is saying, the whole purpose that I have come to earth is to do the will of my Father, to do the will of God. Now you might say, how does that relate to me? I know Yeshua did the will of his Father, but how does that relate to me? Well, we are to follow Yeshua. Then Yeshua said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me or follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We are called to follow him. We are called to do God's will, to do the will of the Father, like Yeshua did the will of the Father. To do God's will, we must follow Yeshua. First of all, for those of us who are believers, we have to deny ourselves. This means to put God's plan, as revealed by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, in accordance with his word, before our plans. We've talked about this before, how the Holy Spirit never directs us or leads us to do anything that's not in accordance with God's word. The two balance each other out, or they confirm each other. Okay, so if you have something where you think, oh, the Holy Spirit is really telling me to do this, but it goes against God's word, guess what? It's not coming from the Holy Spirit. It's not coming from the Holy Spirit. So then Yeshua said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Oops, sorry, I went too far. So we need to deny ourselves, putting God's plan before our own plan. Yes, there's many ways to deny yourself, but in this context, we need to put God's plan for 2014 before our own plans. That's part of denying yourself. That's part of doing God's will, is to put his plan first. Take up our cross to identify with him, to identify with Yeshua, and to do those things that he has called us to do that are part of his plan. Taking up that cross. Saying, yes, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever it is you've called me to do in 2014. And it may not be a big deal to us. It might just be holding the course, staying faithful, doing what we've been doing, working, doing the best job we can at our job, or working in the same way that we have in our family to be that good example of what it means to follow the Lord. And then finally it says that we are to follow him, to follow Yeshua, to be obedient to the will of the Father as he was. We walk in his footsteps. To say that we follow Yeshua means that we act like him. That's the point of following him. We do those things that he did. And we're willing to do whatever the Lord calls us to do. 1 Peter 4, 1 through 2 says this, therefore, since Messiah suffered for us in the flesh, Arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, and that he no longer should live the rest of his life or the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. So, what this is saying is, therefore, since Messiah suffered for us in the flesh, we need to have that same mind that he had. And the idea here is, when we suffer in this flesh, now, I know you don't like suffering. Oh, don't tell me you do, because I know you don't. I don't like suffering. We don't like to suffer. In fact, our whole flesh, our whole mortal body rebels against suffering, doesn't it? We don't like it. But you know what? What I see in Scripture over and over again, and I know this is not one of those messages that's going to get a lot of people excited or make you give a lot more money. No, you can go out on the internet and on the TV and hear great messages that'll make you feel really good about 2014 or scare you to death, and you can probably give to them too. No, this is just about suffering. You know, suffering is absolutely necessary for us as believers. And I'm not talking having to go and get nailed to a cross like Yeshua did. Most of us will never have to experience suffering on that level. Thank God, because we couldn't handle it. I'm just talking every day. I'm talking getting rejected because you're a believer. I'm talking, you know, having people talk bad about you when you don't deserve it, and holding your tongue, because that's what Yeshua would do. I'm talking just having a bad day where the house almost burns down. You might run into somebody, God forbid, but you might have an accident or something. Okay, that's part of life, but there's two ways to look at that. We can either look at that as, oh, poor me, look at the horrible stuff I'm going through. God doesn't love me as a believer. If you're not a believer, you don't even, you know, just, it's life. Life is horrible, or it's happy, or I'm going to try to get the most out of it as possible. But as a believer, we have two approaches. We can become, you know, all upset with God and upset with other people or ourselves or whatever and not have that joy. Or we can say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to enter into the fellowship of your suffering. Because that's what it says in Romans, that we need to enter into the fellowship of his suffering so that we can also share in his glory. Yeah. Once again, we don't like to hear that. But in 2014, you will have some suffering, and so will I. I know, isn't that great? Hey! Happy New Year! You will have some suffering, and so will I. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord. Nothing can separate us from his love. We are more than conquerors. How can you be more than a winner? You either win or you don't win, right? But we're more than winners. We're more than conquerors through Yeshua. Isn't that awesome? Because you know what that means? Even when everyone else thinks you lose, in Yeshua, you win. Everyone who saw him die on the cross would have thought, wow, that was the shortest messianic thing there ever was, right? The guy only was around for 3 years, and look, now he's gone. He's dead. He lost. Oh, no. In fact, his death was the victory. Yeshua's death was the victory, because it said when he died, he nailed sin to the cross. The power of sin and death was defeated. When he rose from the dead, that was more than conqueror. Because he'd already paid the price. He'd already won the victory. But then he was more than a conqueror, and he rose from the dead. And that's the same thing he's given you and me. So we're to follow Yeshua. Our salvation is God's will. Our salvation is God's will. Galatians 1, 3 through 5. We just read that, I think. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil age. Not just the one back then, the one right now. He delivers us from that. You know, our salvation is happening every day. Remember what it says in Scripture? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We get really confused about this, don't we? Yeshua has already paid the price. But I need him to save me every single day. He's my salvation all the time. It wasn't just one time when I said a prayer that, you know, I don't even remember now what I actually said. But I know I said it. But that wasn't the only time he was my salvation. No, he's my salvation all the time. I should be looking to him all the time, recognizing that aside from him, I don't have salvation. I don't have life. Yeshua is our salvation. And he came to deliver us from this present age, and he's continuing to deliver us. God reveals his salvation according to his will. If you look at Hebrews 2, 3 through 4. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his will. According to his will. You know, it talks a lot about signs and wonders in this verse and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, and I believe in all of those things. I believe in the working of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I would love to see God move in that way in 2014. But you know what? You and I can't control that. There's whole groups that say, well, this is the formula. If you do this, this, and this, then the Holy Spirit has to do this. He doesn't have to do anything we tell him to do. He's God. Why don't we get that? Anything he does is according to his will. Have you ever tried to apply a formula to a relationship, like a marriage relationship? My wife's out of here so I can talk about this. I'm just playing. You guys will tell. You can't. You can't apply a formula to a relationship. You can try. It might work like one or two or three times. But then all of a sudden, I don't understand. That's especially true for us men about our wives. What? And I think that's of God. I think God put this relationship, well, we know God put this relationship, a husband and a wife together, right? He said it was good. But I think part of that whole, you know, if you're a man who's married, you can't understand your wife. You never will. Give up trying and start praying, okay? Just start praying. And those who have learned that are happy and joyful in their relationship. Like Bob. Bob is happy and joyful in his relationship because he's quiet and he just prays. I love you, Joan. And you know what's awesome? And I love this, okay? It's a miracle. It's an absolute miracle when God changes a woman's heart. When God changes a woman's heart. Now, here's the miracle, because women change their mind all the time, right? But when God changes the woman's heart to match up to what the man wanted, that's the miracle. Yeah, that's the miracle. Yeah. Anyways, we have to submit to God's will. We have to submit. Now, see, here's the thing. This doesn't just happen. I wish it did. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you became a believer in Yeshua and then you just started to be good all the time? Wouldn't that be wonderful? You just did the right thing all the time. You always submitted to God's will. Some of you, maybe you're like that. I don't know. Never met any believer who's quite like that. You might think you're like that. And other people probably disagree. Wouldn't it be good, though, if that were true? We just always did the right thing. I'm now a believer, and so I always do the right thing. But it's not the way it works. For some reason, only God understands why he did this. He gave us free will. He gave us a choice. And that doesn't stop when you become a believer. You still have free will. And so it's our responsibility to submit to God's will. Now, let me make this clear. God's will is going to happen whether you submit to it or not. He's still going to have his way, isn't he? Here's the thing. You may not enjoy it when he has his way if you haven't submitted. In fact, you probably won't enjoy it when he has his way and you haven't submitted. That's the thing. I can submit to God's will and I can become part of what he's doing and I can glorify him through obeying him, or I can choose to be rebellious and I'll still be part of what he's doing, but I won't like it. Pharaoh was still part of what God was doing, wasn't he? But he didn't like it. Moses got the benefit. As he was obedient to the Lord, he got the benefit of the blessing of the Lord. So we have to submit to God's will. It's our decision. Let's look at John 1, 12 through 13. John 1, 12 through 13. It says, but as many as received him, Yeshua, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. There's two things happening here, isn't there? There's people that are saying yes, and they're making a choice to receive that free gift of salvation, but God already has a plan for them. It says they were born not of blood, not of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. But of God. Let's look at another one, Romans 12, 1 through 2. This is for us who are already believers, because he says, brethren, I beseech you therefore, brethren, I ask you, I come and I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So here it's saying we have to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. That we are told by Paul, Rav Shaul, as we say in Messianic movement, we're told by Paul, by Shaul, to come before the Lord and present our bodies, physical body, our emotions, our mind, everything, to the Lord as a living sacrifice. Not a dead sacrifice, not told to kill ourselves, told to come to him and say, here I am, Lord, I'm yours. And it says, this is our reasonable service. This only makes sense. But what's the purpose? So that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's how we fit into that will of God, but that's a decision we have to make. Now, let's look at the other side. Luke 7, 29 through 30. Thought this was quite interesting. It says, but the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him, by John. Do you hear what that's saying? It's saying the Pharisees and the lawyers, it doesn't say that it was the will of God that they reject him. It says that they rejected the will of God for themselves. They made a choice. They made a decision to reject the will of God and not repent and not get baptized by John, by Yochanan. We have a choice. And so, because we have a choice, I can't look back at 2013 and blame God. for my attitude to what happened in 2013. If there's something that I'm upset about, I can't blame God. Because if I'm walking in his will, if I'm walking in his spirit, I won't be upset by it because I didn't have the expectation that things would be different. See, that's where we get into trouble, isn't it? When I start my day and I have an expectation that everything's going to go well and it doesn't go well, well, that's my problem. That was my expectation. What we should be starting our day with is saying, Lord, I submit myself to you. Whatever you want to happen today, whatever your will is today, I'm yours. Here's my body. It's a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Made holy by what? The blood of Yeshua. Holy and acceptable unto you. And making sure our minds are not conformed to the pattern. The pattern of this world, what do people want? Well, they want happiness. They want their lust to be fulfilled, whatever that might be. They want that new something. They want that person, whatever. That's the pattern of this world. We're not supposed to be conformed to the pattern of this world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind. Every day, our mind needs to be renewed by the Lord, by his word, by the Holy Spirit. What about praying? We need to pray for God's will. It says in Romans 8, 27 through 28, that the Spirit makes intercession for us according to the will of God. It says, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So let's break this down. He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is. Okay, so you have the Lord searching the heart, and he knows the mind of the Spirit because he's one. They're one. God is one. So he knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints. It says about Yeshua that he is our great high priest, ever living to make intercession for us. And he does this, though, according to the will of God. You know what? Yeshua is making intercession for us before the Father, that the Father's will be done according to the will of God. And if we are walking in the Spirit and we're listening to the Holy Spirit, we're not going to be praying for things that go against the will of God. Many times we pray for things that go against the will of God, and once again, we are not happy with the result, right? Our expectations are not met. And that's why we need to be listening to the will of God, listening to what he says. Now, it's interesting, Colossians 4:12 says we should pray for the will of God for others as well. Colossians 4:12, Epaphras, who is one of you, Paul is saying he's a Colossian, a bondservant of Christ or of Messiah, so he's also a believer, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So here you have this guy. He's praying for the Colossian church. And what is he praying for them? That they could stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That they are going to do everything God wants them to do. That they're going to accomplish God's will. That's his fervent prayer for them. And that's how we should be praying for each other. Not praying our will for somebody else. Praying God's will. If you really want the best for those that you love, you will pray God's will for them. Here's the scary part, isn't it? To do that, what do we have to do? Trust God. Trust God. You know, I have this going on right now. My desire is the best for my daughter, Tirza. But every time she goes away, that's so hard. Because what I like is I like to see her in the living room doing her thing. I like her funny, you know, jokes. I like her coming over and wanting a moment. You know, I like all those things. And I miss her. But I know God's will is better for her. His plan is better. And we have to release our hold on control and trust God for His will to be done in the lives of those that we love. And that's not easy to do. So what about this last one? Paul sought to visit Rome in the will of God. I love this, okay? He says in Romans 1, 8 through 10, Paul says, "For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by some means now at last I might find a way in the will of God to come to you." So what's Paul doing here? A little manipulation. Okay, it's okay. God understands. Paul has this desire to go to the Romans, the Roman believers. And he's like, "I want to come to you, so I'm trying to find a way in the will of God to come to you." Well, if you know the story, Paul did get to go to the Romans. There was a shipwreck on the way. He almost died. When he finally got there, he got imprisoned. And basically, he died there. But it was God's will for him to go. It was God's will for him to die. But he was looking earnestly for a way within the will of God, not outside the will of God, not making it happen on its own. And sometimes we do that, don't we? "I'm going to do this no matter what." Well, God will let us sometimes. He'll let us do it. But it's not the outcome we expected. It doesn't satisfy unless it is within his will. And you know what? Those trips that I, or things that I've tried to do and make happen that weren't God's will have been so hard. And they haven't been satisfying. Even if I was having fun, they weren't satisfying. But those times when I was just doing God's will and God knew, see, because here's the other aspect of trust. We all like relaxation and rest, right? We all need that. But here's the thing, God knows we need it. So why not trust him for the right timing? Why not trust him and include him, not include him, but us be included in his plans and trust him that he will provide the rest and relaxation we need too? Because he will. He loves us and he knows exactly what we need. I've gotten to travel all over the world in the will of God. Seen things I never expected to see in the will of God. And been blessed tremendously. Just being obedient to him. Places I would have never been able to go on my own. For free, some of them. Our work should be in God's will. You know, sometimes we have this attitude of compartmentalizing our life. This is my spiritual life, and this is my social and work life. Now, God, I give you everything over here. It's all yours. It's my spiritual life over here. It's all yours. But my work, half the time I don't even like it. I just have to go. It's something I have to do. Guess what? God gave us that work. It's a blessing from him. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter whether we like it. If you don't have work, trust God for work. Trust God. Trust his will to be done. But our everyday work should be to please God instead of man. Ephesians 6, 5 through 7 says, "Bondservants," or servants, "be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Messiah, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men." You know, I know it's talking about servants and slaves here, but if you work for anybody today, you still are kind of like that. You're not a slave in the sense that you don't get paid. But you are a slave in the sense that you have to pay your bills. You have to go to work. It's not something we really have a choice. unless you're getting help from the government or whatever, then you're a slave to the government. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and sincerity of heart as to Messiah. Not just doing it in front of them, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Messiah, doing the will of God from the heart. It's God's will that we do the best that we possibly can in the work that he's given us to do. It's his will. And you know what? When we don't do that, we're going against his will. Also, 1 Thessalonians 4, 11 through 12. And I really like this one. So many times we think that following the Lord means that we have to be loud and obnoxious and in everybody's face, or that you have to be a pastor or a worship leader or something like that to follow the Lord, to be in his will. Well, that's not what it says in 1 Thessalonians 4, 11 through 12. That you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly towards those who are outside, that means outside the faith, and that you may lack nothing. All of this is within the will of God. So the will of God is not just doing some type of ministry. If you're waiting around for a ministry, you're not doing the will of God. Yeah. Waiting around for a ministry means that you're not doing what he's telling you to do right now. That's what we need to be doing. Whatever he tells us to do now. Today. And be faithful about that. And you know what it says in his word? If you're faithful in those little things, he'll give you bigger things. You're faithful in those things, he'll give you bigger things. And he'll keep blessing. And it'll keep expanding. But we need to be faithful in the work that God has given us. Godly living is the will of God. I'm not going to read every single one of these because we'll be here the rest of the day. Abstain from every form of evil, it says in 1 Thessalonians 5, 14 through 22. So it's God's will that we abstain from every form of evil. Abstain from sexual immorality, 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 4. It says it's God's will that we abstain from sexual immorality. Any sex outside of marriage that God has set up in his word is sexual immorality. And it is not in the will of God. And we need to abstain from it. That includes pornography as well. All of that is not in the will of God. We need to do what is good. 1 Peter 2, 14 through 17. And 1 Peter 3, 16 through 17. If we look at that one, godly living, let's look at 1 Peter 2, 14 through 17. It says, "For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king." Okay, so that's his will, is that by doing good, we can put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. 1 Peter 3, 16 through 17 says this, "Having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Messiah may be ashamed. For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." Some other aspects of God's will. Miracles are in only, true miracles only happen through God's will. Through God's will. John 9, 31 through 33 talks about that. Death. Death is actually something that since the fall of man, it says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. In Acts 13, 36, it talks about how David's death was according to God's will. Yeah, death can even be according to God's will. because only God gives us life, and only he knows when it's our time to go be with him. Fellowship. Romans 15:32, Paul desires fellowship, and that's within the will of God. God's calling has to be within his will. 1 Corinthians 1:1. God's promises are all fulfilled through his will. Hebrews 10:35-36, and it says, as we are, actually, let's read that one because that's a really encouraging one. But as we are faithful to the Lord, it says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. See, he calls us to do his will. You know, James says, show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So God calls us to do his will, and then we receive the promise. Eternal life, 1 John 2:17 says, and the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. He who does the will of God abides forever. Suffering is in the will of God. We've already talked about that, but there's another verse in 1 Peter 4:19. And prophecy should be in the will of God. I'm going to read this one because I think this is very important for us today. There's a lot of prophecy going around. 2 Peter 1:20-21 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Very important for us to understand today, because there's a lot of prophecy out there. Finally, a New Year's resolution that I believe we can make before the Lord. Obviously, he knows that we're not perfect. But I submit myself to the will of the Father, the Lordship of Yeshua Messiah. Sorry, not on that one. I submit myself to the will of the Father, the Lordship of Yeshua Messiah, my Savior, who died on the cross for my sin, was buried and rose again, and to the leading of the Holy Spirit, I resolve to be a disciple of Messiah in 2014 by denying myself, taking up the cross, and following him. I will humble myself and confess my sin when the Lord reveals it to me, and I will endeavor to love the Lord with all my heart, soul, and mind, and love my neighbor as myself. There's many others very similar that you could make that would be within the will of God. And if we go into 2014 with that type of heart attitude, to say, in 2014, I want to be obedient to the will of the Father, just as Yeshua was obedient to the will of the Father. I know I won't do it perfectly, but it's what I desire to do. Then I believe we will all have a blessed year. And we will have a year where we will be satisfied, because we'll be satisfied by the things that make him happy, not by the things that make us happy. And we'll be content. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your will. Lord, I pray that you will reveal yourself to us as we prepare for this new year, as we go into this new year. Lord, that your will be done in each one of our lives, to your glory and to your honor. Lord, whatever that means, help us to surrender and submit to you and be willing to let your will be done in our lives. Lord, cleanse us and forgive us from our own attitudes, from a rebellious attitude of wanting our own way. And Lord, fill us to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. We thank you and we pray all of this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, Hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. Amen.
Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Amen.
Maruch ata Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen.
Amen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. Amen.
Yivarechach Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai panav elecha v'hunecha. Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach Sar HaShalom. In the name of Yeshua, our Messiah, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat Shalom.